been talking about what it means to continue in grace. How did that look for you this week? Did we feel that we were in God's grace as we went through this week? And if so, how did that look? Or even to add another question, how was it manifest in your daily activities? Think about this past week. And we've been talking about grace. And, you know, of course, the purpose of all of our classes is that whatever we learn from it, or that the little nuggets we may gather, that we try to use them. Or we try to be more reflective of where we are. So, how was your week? Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't have very many triggers this past week, or very little conflict.
Oh, okay.
I feel pretty good about that, and I wasn't very tempted to go off.
Fantastic. Fantastic. See, you know, Satan was looking at you and saying, you know, he had that hedge around Bill. That's why I can't get to him. Anything else? Anyone else want to share? Just how was your week in grace? How did grace manifest itself in your activities this past week? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. You know, as she shared, you know, she has a supervisor that can cause a little bit of stress, but you know, when you look at grace, it kind of changes her. It changed her perspective, and she looked at her differently. You know, one of my favorite passages in Scripture is talking about Numbers. And I think I've shared this with you before, when the children of Israel, they complained, and God sent these serpents into the camp, right? And many perished because of it, and they went back and said, God, we made a mistake, forgive us. You know, and God told Moses, all right, I want you to make this bronze serpent and post it up there, and when they look upon it, they will not die. And the reason why I thought that was so... I took that so personally is because God never took away the serpents. The serpent stayed there. In fact, we don't even see scripture where the serpent stopped biting. What we saw was those who looked upon it, it says when they're bitten, what's going to happen? They won't die. And it lets me know today that a lot of things may still come my way. That boss is going to be there on Monday. Right? The stresses are going to be there throughout the week. But when our focus is changed, it's not going to destroy us. It's not going to kill us because, not because they've disappeared, but because our focus is on what's in front of us, not what's around us. And I love that, and I thank you for that comment, because so many times we allow things around us to have an impact and can destroy us if our focus is off. But when we have that focus on grace, then we're going to find ourselves being able to deal with those things differently. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. And there's a lot there. And if you don't mind, I would like to jump on, you know, one of those things, because he says, you know, as he goes through his week and he's talking with coworkers about some personal things, the conversation turned to the cross. And, you know, he mentions a lot of those things. I want to kind of touch on that because if we look at 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness." And I'm reminded, and it's funny that you mention that because, you know, I was reading the story that was in the book here, and he talks about how a church had a church sign, and on that church sign it says, "But we preach Christ crucified." Brand new church building. They want to put up their sign that really kind of focuses in on what is important to them. And they have this sign up there, and it says, "But we preach Christ crucified." That may be a little too small for you to read. But as the days go by and weeks and the months go by, the vines and the bushes start to grow around the sign. And what ends up happening is that it grows up over the last part. And so the only thing that people read is, "But we preach." Can we ever get to that point where we're talking, but are we talking about Christ crucified? Because isn't that the key? Isn't that the main thrust of why we do what we do? Isn't that the main message that we want to give everyone? That Christ was crucified, that it's about him. We can have a lot of conversations at work. We can have a lot of conversations with our family. We can have a lot of conversations with strangers and go into, you know, debates. You know, Last of Leaders, we're about to have the Last of Leaders, and some of our folks are going down and having this debate about grace, in fact. Can one fall from grace? But it's interesting that if we're not careful, we can find ourselves talking a lot about Scripture, but not really talking about Christ crucified. Not really bringing the conversation back to the cross. Our faith is because of the grace of God. Not because we can win an argument. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, not because we know, you know, well, this scripture talks about this, so we know we shouldn't have mechanical instruments of music. We know that we are to be baptized. Yeah, we know all those things. That is absolutely true, and we need to continue to teach, just like we read in Matthew chapter 28, right? Teach them to observe all things. But if we lose sight of Christ crucified, then it doesn't matter whether we win an argument or not. You know, I remember my, I see you, Ozzy. I remember in college, there was the group Alpha Phi Alpha. I don't know if, you know, if we have any alphas in here. And I remember when they were pledging, they would carry around these bricks that had the A Phi A symbol on them. And every few, they would run, and every few steps, they stop and say, "Alpha, Alpha, light of the world." And they run a few more steps, and they stop again, and they do that. And they continue to do it, and then they go through all their procedures. And at the end, they're inducted, I don't know, they're added to, you know, that group. Now, if I picked up the brick, and I start doing the same thing they were doing, at the end of the day, will I be an alpha? No. I was never really invited. And so it's very easy to start winning the different arguments, but if we don't bring them into what they need to be in, we don't teach them Christ and him crucified, then all that other stuff won't really matter. Our goal is to bring them into Christ. Ozzy, I saw your hand. Okay. You know, today often we hear about the importance of faith or belief. In fact, you may have heard that if you believe, you'll be saved. And oftentimes they even go to the scripture in Romans 10, you know, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's this idea of belief only. We're going to talk a lot about faith today. And it even continues on, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And it continues in verse 11, for the scriptures say, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Anybody ever heard that? That idea of, you know, all you need to do is believe. You know, sometimes if you're listening to the radio or you're watching TV and they have these so-called evangelists on, and they'll say, if you just believe in God and put your hand on the radio and pray this prayer after me, right? It's this idea that, you know, we're involved, our actions are necessary to receive or to have God's grace. But I want us to consider some things. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. If I can get a reader to read Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. What do we get from that? Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. What do you get from that? When you read God's word and you read that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What do you get from that? Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Don't we get kind of caught up in that? You remember King Saul and young David, and they go off to battle, and they come back, and I don't know why the ladies did it, but they came out and they sang the song, you know, Saul killed his thousands. Saul was like, yeah, I did, right? Feeling pretty good about himself. What was the rest of that song? David killed his 10,000. Saul was probably happy in the first verse, right? But then he realized somebody's getting a little bit more credit or praise, and saying, well, I want what he has. We look at our Christianity and we say, well, that person's more Christian than me. Really? You know, we have to look at those things. And thank you for that comment, Brian, because a lot of times we can look at it and say, well, I'm working so much harder in the church. Does that mean you should get a bigger piece of heaven? Is there anything that we can do? First thing I picked up on was salvation comes from God, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. God gives. All we do is what? Receive. Now, with our kids, that kind of can annoy us at times. All you want is to just get. You know, all I feel I do is give and give and give, and we feel that's kind of an unfair relationship. Shouldn't it be back? Shouldn't it be mutual? You know, we think about our spouses, that it's not 50-50, it's 100-100, but it's both of us giving everything. We're used to that. But with God, it's a little bit different. The grace that we receive, we can't pay back. We can't give it back to him. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Also Philippians 3:3-9. Nothing that we do In fact, let me just move on to the next piece, because this is one little line I saw in the book, and it really just caught my eye. Man can earn death, but they can't earn life. I love that. I think that's an incredible phrase. We can earn death. How do we earn death? What separates us from God? Disobedience, right? Yeah. Sin. For the wages of sin is death. You know, when we think about wages, we think about something that we earn. We can earn death through our sinful ways, but we can't earn life. There's nothing that we can do, that we can work toward to get us to life. Yes, sir. I saw your hand up. Made for his purpose, aren't we? Long before the foundation of the earth, he was thinking about Anthony Hall. He was thinking about Leslie Smith, right? He was thinking about us, and we had nothing to do with it. In fact, didn't Job try to question that? And God said, all right, man up, right? Gird up thy loins. Like a man, modern day vernacular, man up. Where were you? When I put this plan in motion, where were you? When I decided that grace is going to be my way of delivering you back to me for my purpose, where were you? Where are we now? Have we come in and said, you know what, you're right, it was your idea, but I'm here to make it a little bit better. Where are we now? It's still all about him, because we're made, what? For his purpose. Verse 10, also we see Isaiah 64 and 8. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And that's exactly where we're going right now. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy call, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Only by the grace of God are we saved. In other words, 100% the power of God, 0% the power of man. And we're going to talk about faith now. Thank you for bringing that up. So let's discuss it. How do you tap into the power of God daily? Let me rephrase it and put the emphasis kind of where it is. How do you tap into the power of God daily? Study his word. And what else? Study his word, prayer, and living by it. Okay, let's Let's go down one more layer. How does that look? You know, I found out, you know, when we talk about goal setting, I talk a lot about to my colleagues at work and those who are coming in and trying to mentor them, and we talk about goal setting. And it can be a personal goal. I want to be in better shape. And we say, well, you don't want to say you want to be in better shape. You want to lose 10 pounds in the next X number of weeks, right? We want to be specific, okay? So when we say we want to be faithful, that's a little vague. If we're going to set the goal to be more faithful, if we're going to set the goal to live by, and you're absolutely right, we have to read God's word. Yeah, we're forming a relationship. We're in a relationship with him, which means a two-way communication. He's communicating with us through his word. We need to pray. That's us communicating to him, and we need to live by it. But what does that look like? We talk about faith. What does that look like? How do we tap into that power? We just study anything. We just open the Bible and start reading. God will lead me where he wants me to go. He'll just do it. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. God is the solution to whatever those problems are. You know, it may not work so well on Jeopardy if they ask you a question, you say, who is God, every single time for the answer. But we know in life, no matter what comes our way, God is that solution. And then we go when we help others recognize the same. You know, and going back to Ozzy's point, talking about faith, you know, faith is our connection to that power. So we talk about how we tap into God's power daily. You know, it's through our faith. But of course, we want to go down another layer. How does that look in your life? As Neil pointed out, that he asked God for direction, that wherever he goes, whatever situation he finds himself in, that he looks to God for that solution, right? What about you? Yes, Jim. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes. Absolutely. You know, and the second part of that, or second question I had for you was, how do we know that we're tapped into that grace? You know, so the first one is, how do you do it? And how do you know you're actually tapped into it? You know, and I think of the example of the cord from whatever electronics and the socket. You know, there's no power in the cord. We're kind of like that cord. But God made it so that, made that cord, made us so that when we plug into the source, we receive what we need to receive. See, because we tell our kids, there are only certain things you can plug into a outlet, right? You don't want to take a fork and plug it into the outlet. But God made us so that when we are plugged in, we get what we need. A lot of times, if we're not careful, the faith is in our, look at my ability to plug in, rather than on the source itself. So when we talk about faith, it's that act, it's that faith that brings us to the understanding. In fact, I'll add, you know, in the book, they quote Martin Luther. He says, the evidence of our faith is our acceptance of grace. In other words, we recognize the power of God, and it's our faith that helps us accept it. And then the evidence of our acceptance, as you mentioned earlier, is in our obedience. The things that we do is because we've accepted, not to show that, you know, we are going to accept. Yes. So you kind of, you know, using one another, sharpening, just like iron, as iron sharpens iron, right? You kind of use one another to encourage you, but also serve as a litmus test for you, or some feedback, give you some honest feedback. You know, it's great to get feedback when you're not doing well. You kind of know who your friends are then, right? It's easy for, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But that true friend would be like, you know, you're doing well, but bro, you kind of need to tighten up some of these areas, right? I thought I saw a hand. Did you have your hand up? Okay. Last couple of minutes. Elders, you can help me on this one. I can't recall God ever withholding grace from anyone, but some may never be saved because they will not accept grace. Is that pretty accurate? God has never withheld grace from anyone. In other words, that invitation is out for all. In fact, I think I even have the scriptures on here. Acts 17:30, 2 Peter 3:9. Of course, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. We recognize that the grace that God has extended, he's extended to everyone. Right? And so, if we know that, now I'm going to loop back around to what Ozzy said earlier. In 1 John 4:17, you know, it talks in a different context, but we understand the application for it, because as he is, so are we in the world. We understand that if this is how God looks at grace, isn't this how we should look at grace as well? In other words, if God says, I'm not going to withhold grace from anyone, the ones who end up not being in grace are the ones who just refuse to accept it. But I'm not going to withhold it from anyone. When we go through our week, are there some people we say, I don't think I'm going to talk to them because, quite frankly, either they won't listen or they're not really worthy of it because they're just living a life that whatever. Do we withhold God's word from others that they will not receive that grace? Do we withhold the power when there's a power source right there and they're a plug and we put up, remember with our young kids, we put the little blockers in the outlet. Do we put those up for people? Do we kind of stop them from plugging into it? Because I don't think that person really needs to be plugged into God. We may be the only Christ they see. Are we going to take away that opportunity? Titus 2, 11, 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This is one thing I love about this. It says, this is what grace does. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, doing what? Verse 12, teaching us. Grace teaches. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Grace is teaching us how we ought to behave because we are in grace. And it's that faith that allows us to get, you know, Jim brought up the great point, and we've been reading through one word, and hopefully you continue to do that. And we've gone through several of those as a family. And as we look at them, and at the very end it says, today I will, you know, we really focus on that. Okay, today I will. I ask our kids, and then we answer the question ourselves, so are you going to do it? Because it's very easy for us to say, you know, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to live, but are you going to do it? See, every time you say, I will, that's something that's in the future. Tell me how you're going to do that. Isaiah, you're going to your class tomorrow. Tell me how you're going to do that. I'm going to work tomorrow. Let me tell you how I'm going to show self-control. I'm going to show humility. Because grace is teaching me how to do it. Grace is teaching me how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A lot of times we say, I will, but we never say, I do. We always want to keep it in the present tense. I'm speeding through this because I know I heard the first bell ring. Let me just ask this question. Let's see where we are. Okay. Can we say that the evidence of my faith, the evidence of your faith, is the total rejection of self and total reliance on God? In other words, as you go through your life, as you go to work, as you work with your family, as you work with colleagues and whatever that you do, can you say that you exhibit a lifestyle that shows a total rejection of self and a total reliance on God? You can't answer, you don't have to, but that's something that we should be answering in our actions, in our daily lives. Yes, sir. We want to play some role in it, right? We want to have, I did my part. Yes. You know, Jim said earlier, he said, you know, we've got to practice it. I told you before, I had my high school or middle school coach, actually, and he said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. We got to practice the right things a lot, all the time. And letting go and letting God is something that we have to continue to work on. It's not something that just comes one time. You know, we succeed once and we think we have it. But it's something we continue to practice, and we practice it the right way. And the right way is based on God's word. So it's a continual process. One last comment, then we're going to close out. To see that growth in ourselves. Our time is up. Next week we're going to talk about power of grace. But I thank you for your time. We can be dismissed.